Welcome to the First Century Church Podcast. My name is Stephen Wilhoy, and I'm the lead pastor at First Century Church, and it is an honor to have you with us today. The goal of the podcast is simple. We want you to be encouraged, challenged, and inspired to go further in your faith than ever before. If you'd like more information about the church, you can visit our website, firstcenturykc.com. And if you happen to be in the Kansas City area anytime soon, we'd love to have you join us for one of our live gatherings to connect with you in person. Again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
God, it's me. I've told you I would talk to you later when things slow down and I have better words. Well, I don't even know where to start. I'm tired, I'm distracted, and I've been doing a lot more talking about you than talking to you. Well, I thought prayer had to sound a certain way. Okay, well, here it is. My fear, my questions, my hopes. I'm a mess, and I don't have it all together. Okay, God. I'm listening. Today, if you haven't guessed yet, we are going to be talking about prayer. The title of this message is Let's Talk, Communicating with God. And the good news is you don't have to have a really cute pink receiver to talk to God. So you're off the hook there. Do you guys even know what this is? This is a princess phone. I mean, it's pink. I mean, come on. So that's a telephone. You have to hook it to the wall. Then you get a landline. It's a whole thing. You can't walk away. You can only get so far, and then it yanks you back. They did come out with a cordless version. That's another day. Yeah, sometimes you laid on the kitchen floor and talked. But in the skit, as you could tell, it's a lot like many of us in this room. In fact, studies have shown that upwards of 45% of regular church attenders really struggle with a consistent prayer life. Sure, we commit to praying for others and we pray passively throughout the day, but taking time to have an intentional conversation with God can sometimes be a lot harder. We say things like, I'll do it later. You know, when time slows down and I can figure out all the words, maybe we get overwhelmed because we don't know what to say, or maybe there's things we've prayed about and we didn't feel like we got an answer to our prayer. And so as time went on, that prayer need just kind of fell. We stopped praying, maybe stopped praying for that person who doesn't know the Lord, who we've been believing for their salvation, or a neighbor, someone we work with. But I'm here to tell you this morning that prayer is so important. And so as we conclude our series on fasting and prayer, we're going to get right into it this morning. Prayer is one of the most familiar practices in Christian life, right? But yet, for many believers, it is also one of the very most difficult spiritual disciplines to maintain consistently. We believe in prayer and we talk about prayer and ask people to pray for us. But many Christians quietly struggle with distractions, discouragement, and consistency when it comes to their own prayer lives. Here's an important question for us to ask ourselves today. If someone examined your prayer life, would they conclude that prayer is essential or optional? Think about that for a second. If someone examined your prayer life, would they conclude that prayer is essential or optional? There's some reasons a consistent prayer life can be challenging, right? Some of the things that I mentioned moments ago. But prayer is not just a spiritual accessory, something that we can put on and take off as we want. It is not a last resort. It's not just for emergencies. Prayer should be the lifeline for a believer. And if prayer was essential to the life and ministry of Jesus, then it needs to be essential to our lives as well. And throughout the Gospels, we can see consistent prayer patterns in Jesus' life and ministry. And there are four verses in the Gospel, and there are so many more, but I'm going to talk about these four verses briefly. Jesus was the Son of God, yet he prayed continually. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, Jesus got up, he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6:12, before choosing the 12 disciples, Jesus prayed all night. Luke 22:41, it talks about in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prepared himself for suffering and anguish for the cross. Jesus often prayed early in the morning while it was still dark. He prayed alone away from crowds. He prayed before selecting his disciples. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. So if anyone could have said, I don't have time to pray, I think it was Jesus, right? He was kind of a busy guy. Yet he made time, and I think that's the key word here. He made time because prayer was the source of Jesus's strength, and he knew that he needed to converse with his Father to do life. Before major decisions, he prayed. After demanding ministry moments, Jesus prayed. In moments of deep sorrow and pressure, Jesus prayed. This is important because prayer isn't just something he did after ministry or when there was time, but it was woven into the fabric of who Jesus was. Jesus was dependent on prayer. When his ministry intensified, his prayer life intensified. It deepened. So if Jesus, the Son of God, relied on prayer, then prayer is not optional for us. It's foundational. We may be tempted to say, I will pray when life slows down, and I am certainly guilty of times where I have put off prayer because I didn't feel like I had the time. But Jesus shows us the opposite pattern is what is essential. When life intensifies, our prayer should increase. My question is, what would change in your life if prayer became your first response to anything? Your first response. And not a last resort. Prayer is not only a conversation with God. It's also confrontation to Satan's schemes. This is key. A lot of times we walk around and we don't realize that we are in a battle against Satan. But it is clear in Scripture that we are at war with Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Scripture is clear. It says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Scripture tells us that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. Our struggle isn't against people. It's not against our circumstances, but against spiritual forces of darkness. Now, I can tell you I've gone through some circumstances, and I feel like I'm against people, right? I feel like it's the person I'm going up against. But we have to remember, we look to God's word for truth, and it is very clear that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy is trying to go around and cause division, isolation, to pull us apart. If we can recognize that we're in a spiritual battle, we're already five steps ahead. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And I find this really powerful that this scripture verse right here comes directly after the armor of God. And I believe that is because it is through prayer that our spiritual offense and defense are activated. That is how we fight back against this spiritual war. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So when you take time to pray, it is powerful, it is effective. This means prayer, it's not passive, it's for a purpose. It's not symbolic, and is active for spiritual warfare for the believer. And I'm convinced that if Satan cannot stop us from believing in who Jesus is, what he's going to do next is try to stop us from praying. He will distract us with busyness. He dulls spiritual hunger. He whispers that prayer doesn't matter and that it doesn't work. Have any of you taken a moment and you set aside time to pray, and suddenly when you find your place and everything is calm and quiet, suddenly in your mind, everything comes to mind that you haven't done for 2 months that needs to be done right now at this very moment, or the world will be over? Or you think about that person who now suddenly, I've got to pick up the phone and call them, even though I haven't spoken into them in 3 weeks. It needs to be right now. There is a reason why when we try to engage in prayer, that distraction often increases. And that can be discouraging, because then you might feel like, oh, I failed again, or I'm not spending that quality time. This is a trap of Satan. He wants to get us away from praying. It is not a coincidence, because when we as believers, we commit to prayer, resistance increases, not because prayer is ineffective, it's because it is powerful for the Christian. This resistance isn't coincidence, and it is confirmation that prayer matters. And let me give you another example of this. If you're going to battle, and we talk about the spiritual battle that we are in, what does our opposition want us to do? They want us to get scared. They want us to drop our arsenal. They want us to retreat. So that is where distraction comes in with prayer. But when we are at battle, what do we do? I don't know about you, but I'm getting my bazooka. I'm getting my best karate skills going on here. I'm making sure I got this helmet on and I'm shielded up, right? I am going to battle. And that is how we need to think about prayer. I am going to battle, because we are at war here. So we've got to get our arsenal, get our stuff. If you need to work on your karate moves, sign up for a class. It's never too late. But I want to be a threat to the schemes of the devil. Resistance doesn't mean retreat. It often means that you're stepping into something spiritually significant. So push in harder. They want to push back. What do? You push in harder. You send your second troop, your third troops. You get in there. You don't retreat. Now, some of you might say, I don't know really where to get started, or it's been so long, or maybe I have believed some of these things about prayer that have kept me from this relationship with God and this communication with him in this way. And I would say, it's okay. It means that oftentimes we get stuck in routine, right? We get on about our business and we just kind of do the same thing over and over and over. And prayer was never meant to feel mechanical or forced. It's based on a relationship with God. He wants us to come to him honestly without perfect words. If you have to have all the right words, that's not what he's looking for. So it might be that you got to change something up and do something different. So if you've been distracted in your prayer, maybe you say, okay, I've been trying to sit still and that just doesn't work for me. So I'm going to walk and pray. Do I have any prayer walkers in this place? I like to walk and pray, or I like to journal my prayers because it helps me to think more clearly. Or maybe you have a hard time finding the words to say. You can pray scripture, or you can just sit in silence before God, just in complete surrender. Jesus taught in Matthew 6:5, he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Did you notice there's something in there? Let's go to the next slide. And when you pray, but when you pray, and when you pray. Jesus doesn't talk about prayers, it's something conditional or that we might do. He says, when you do it, which means you got to do it. You got to do it, friends. You got to pray. And then he goes on to say, you don't need to have the right words. In fact, I don't want you to have the right words. Don't be like them. Don't get consumed in the words. Move on. It's okay if you say the wrong word. I don't think he's looking down at you, questioning your vocabulary, and if you practiced your spelling tests, right? He just wants you to speak to him. He assures us that he knows what we need and that our prayer is effective and powerful. And Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And then he goes on to say in that same verse, that's Matthew 7, he says that if you as evil people, in comparison to God, would give good gifts to our children, you know, we're not going to give our kids things they don't want for Christmas, right? We give good gifts to our children. How much more will our perfect loving Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He wants us to come to him with every thought and every question and every need. He wants us to come to him and ask him. Another way that you can pray if you are having a hard time coming up with words is to let Scripture lead your prayers. God's word gives us words when ours fail. Psalms 119, 105 says that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So when we don't know what to pray, Scripture gives direction for our confused hearts. It gives us language for overwhelmed souls, and it's light to dark emotions and things when we are struggling. I feel like the Psalms are especially helpful because they're written prayers of lament and praise and confession and trust and hope. And when you don't know what to say, Scripture gives language to your prayers. When emotions feel overwhelming, Scripture anchors truth. Praying Scripture builds confidence because you're praying in alignment with God's will. And I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I have noticed Pam prays Scripture so beautifully, and it is so powerful. And as I was writing this sermon, just several of the prayers that she's prayed with me, it's God's word, and it's like, wow, yes. I mean, that is God's truth, right? There's nothing, an error in Scripture. And so you're praying that truth and proclaiming that truth. It's powerful. I'm going to use an example here in Psalm 103. So you can see Psalm 103 is up here. If you can see that, I know it's kind of small. Let's see. You might have to open your Bible. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer, and you're going to see some of these things in this prayer, and this might be how you pray through Psalm 103. Lord, I choose today to praise you. All that is within me, I bless your holy name. Help me not to forget what you have done for me. You are the one who forgives all of my sin. You heal my brokenness. You redeem my life when I feel stuck and overwhelmed. You've crowned my life with love and compassion. Even when I didn't see it, you satisfy me with good things. And when I feel worn down, you renew my strength like the eagles. So today, God, I praise you, not out of habit, but out of gratitude. This is my prayer. This is my worship to you. Amen. So if you've never prayed the Scriptures, you could use Psalm 103 this week to pray through it, and God's going to put other things in your mind. When I look, who forgives all your sins? Maybe you're going through something and you need to call that out right there. Thank you for giving me for this. I remember when I was down in the pit and you pulled me up because you forgive me, oh God. I'm white as snow because of you. I don't have to live in condemnation. God, I thank you for that time where you brought healing to my body. I thank you, Lord, that you are the great healer. Pray through this scripture. It is powerful. Another thing that we can remember when we're praying is to rely on the Holy Spirit. I could have preached on this subject just alone because there's so much in scripture that talks about relying on the Holy Spirit in our prayer. But Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You might not know what to pray, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And God, our Father, knows, says he knows the mind, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. Jude 1:20 tells us to pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul says to pray in the Spirit. Prayer is not fueled by discipline alone. It is sustained by dependence and reliance on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us when words fail, intercedes when emotions overwhelm, and aligns our hearts with God's purpose. And our prayer grows deeper and stronger when we realize we are dependent on the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes for me, what that would look like is sometimes in a time of prayer, I know I just don't have the words, and I know it's biblical, and I will speak in my prayer language, and I will trust the Holy Spirit is working through that, through my prayer life. Other times I might sit quietly and wait on God, and there might be something that pops into my mind, and then I'll lift my voice and I will pray for something specifically that I hadn't thought of before, or think of something a different way and present it to the Lord in a different way. But part, as you saw in my skit earlier, part of prayer and communication and relationship with God is also listening. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I don't like awkward silence whatsoever. In fact, because I've been interviewing so much lately, there are moments when, you know, an interview gets kind of quiet, and I'm just like, say something, you know, like, am I supposed to talk? I just don't like it. It just feels uncomfortable. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Just like awkward silence, like, yeah, I don't like that. But that's something that we have to get comfortable with when it comes to our prayer life. We can't do all the talking because there's a whole other part of prayer, and that is listening. And I would say that is why it is so important that we carve out time for prayer. Because I can passively pray through the day, and I think you should, no matter what you are doing and where you are. We should, that's right, if it's our first response, then we are constantly praying. But when we set aside time to pray, we can also set aside time to listen to the voice of God and what he wants to tell us. There are many, many times in my life where I have heard the Holy Spirit and the Lord's prompting, and I think, what if I hadn't been listening? I mean, what would have happened, right? I remember a time distinctly where we were living in our townhome. It was a townhome we had bought right before it went into foreclosure, or I think it had gone into foreclosure. And I had been praying for several years that our student loan debt would get paid off miraculously. I don't know. I was hoping for one of those really cool stories, like some millionaire would just, you know, throw some money into my bank account one day and I'd open it and it's like the perfect number to the penny of what I needed to pay off my student loans. I think that's what I was believing, but I just kept praying about that for years. I kept praying. And then one day as I was sitting at the table and I was praying, I heard a thought louder than my own. That's the best way I can explain to you what God's voice sounds like to me most of the time. It's when there's a thought and I'm like, no, that wasn't mine. And it said, sell your home. Say what? Sell your home? So I said to Stephen, I feel like we're supposed to sell this home to pay off our student loan debt. Well, it wasn't going to pay off the whole amount, but that started a path that allowed us to pay off our student loan debt in just a couple years. We had probably $90,000 in student loan debt, and we sold a home, and so we had some equity because it was bought in foreclosure, and we did a couple little things to it. And then we bought this tiny little house, which was also an answer to prayer, because I think it was like the sixth or seventh house that we looked at, and all the teens laugh, six or seven. But it worked out. We got this tiny little house that we lived in while we finished paying off our student loan debt. Our mortgage was about $400, and it was just a miracle. Then when we sold that house, that took care of the rest of the debt. I can tell you, and I know Stephen would agree, that even if we sat down and tried to make the math work that we got for selling the house, and then it just doesn't make sense still. It was so much debt, and for us to pay it off in that short time, and that's because it was a miracle. But God spoke, I listened, and fortunately my husband doesn't think I'm crazy. So that's what we did. And I would say, be careful, because when you hear the voice of God, you want to make sure, you know, it aligns with Scripture. You want to make sure, maybe you talk to a mentor or someone you trust who knows the Word of God. If it conflicts with Scripture, it's not God. You know, so there are some things you want to take into consideration. But I'm confident, and now looking back, that that was the voice of God speaking in that time. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Let's sit on that for a second. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So he wants us to come to him and then listen. And he's going to tell you some things that you wouldn't know otherwise. It's in God's word. I'm not making that up. It's right there. God doesn't just hear our prayers. He answers us and he reveals things to us. So thankful that I serve a God who wants a relationship with me, who cares about me, who hears my prayer, and he hears your prayer. And you can be encouraged to know that when you call on him about anything, he hears you, and things are being done on your behalf. And it might not happen as quickly or in the way that you think it should be, but we pray that God's will would happen above all else. There might be something you haven't gotten an answer for that you've been praying for a while about. Well, don't forget that sometimes in the background, things are happening. But God hears you. He hears every need. And I want to also tell you now, intercessory prayer is a big, important part of prayer. We have such a great group of people here. I love the community group and seeing how many people are praying for one another. That is so powerful, friends, because there are times when your friend needs you to be praying for them because they might be so overwhelmed and really struggling, and there is power in that prayer. Intercede for them. We bear ye one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. So sometimes bearing burdens means that we are praying fervently and believing for our friend. Don't stop praying for that person who doesn't know the Lord. Don't stop. You might pray for years and years and years. Don't stop praying and ask others to pray with you, because we're going to bombard the gates of hell and we're going to say, no, you are not going to have a foothold in this situation. Because God is greater, and I know what his word says. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to life in him and faith in him. So if that's what God's word says, then that's what we're going to pray. So keep believing. Look in God's word and see the promises. We look all through Old and New Testament, and we see God moving in situations powerfully. If our God, who parted the Red Sea, wants a relationship with us, I'm sure I'm going to pray. Because he's going to part Red Seas in your life as well. He's going to break chains, and he's going to make a way where he wants you to go. It might be your marriage. Maybe it's your communication. I don't know what it is, but can I just tell you that God can heal that? He can give you more patience. He can give you better words or better understanding for your spouse. He can turn on a light bulb. Or maybe you have a conflict at work, or maybe you're afraid of something. God hears you. Pray, because Satan wants to keep us captive in those thoughts. So please, please, if you hear nothing else today, know that your prayers have power behind them. You are bombarding hell with your prayers. You are directly confronting dark spiritual forces. I can tell you that while prayer doesn't always change our circumstances, it will always change our perspective. And I think a lot of times that's more than half of the battle, is that God would change our perspective. Through prayer, peace replaces anxiety, strength replaces weariness, and clarity replaces confusion. Often the greatest miracle of prayer is not what God changes around us, but what he changes within us. Let's bow our heads this morning as we go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God who loves his people and wants relationship with us. And Lord, I pray that the words that we have heard today would challenge us and encourage us not to find the perfect words or have the perfect setting, Lord, or have it all together, but that you just want us to come to you and have a relationship with you. And so, God, I just pray that in this place, each and every person would recommit to spending intentional time in prayer and communion with you. Lord, that we would bombard the devil and all of his schemes together, that we would lift our voices each and every day, and that we would attune our ears to hear what you have to say to us. We love you so much. Thank you for being a God who speaks to us, speaks through your word, who speaks through thoughts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.